from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark, the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com and a senior analyst for Chiefs Digest. I do want to mention really quick that if you haven't checked it out already, you need to go order the Showtime book by Matt Derrick. Fantastic resource. We're going to be talking about some of the stuff that's in there, and we will be talking to Matt about his book when we have him back on after this Raiders game that we're going to get that we're getting ready to talk to. Also, if you haven't checked it out, you need to go check out Matt Miller's show that we talked to him yesterday, and make sure you listen to that. He had a lot of great information and a lot of great insight into the Chiefs. And with me today, I have Ryan Tracy and Seth Kaiser.
How's it going?
I'm full. I'm still full.
That's impressive.
I had a lot of people in my house, and I overcooked for them. I had a few too many pounds of bird.
I'm not even sure what that phrase you just said could possibly mean.
Yes.
You too many pounds of bird. Interesting.
I cooked a 24-pound bird, and I only ended up having 16 people. So, yeah, it's turkey for me, turkey for you.
Pound and a half a person. That doesn't seem undoable.
It didn't get done, though. I still have like 8 pounds in there, so I'm just chewing away on it. Oh. Yeah, they drank too much. Shocking.
yep, they filled up. Well, cool. So, yeah, happy bye week.
And to you.
Well, thank you. It's a chance to get caught up a little bit on some film, kind of, you know, at least go over one or two players in a little more depth. And I think the Chiefs really needed this bye week. Every year when I see the bye week is really late in the season, I don't know why, but it bugs me early on. But then when it comes around, I'm like, man, I'm glad the bye week is so late in the season so they can, like, get healthy and stuff.
Right? Yippee!
Well, along those lines, I have to ask the question. Obviously, neither of them are going to be available this coming week against the Raiders, but I do have to ask the question. If you have the opportunity to bring back either LDT or Watts, which one do you bring back?
I think I would go with LDT.
That's where I sit. Ryan?
I don't know. You know, and that's my initial reaction as well. Here's the thing. Do you get Barry back or not? We're supposed to see him practice here today, tomorrow. That really changes the whole equation for me because as much as what we saw last week, and honestly what we've seen the last few weeks, is that the weaker point in the secondary is if they're going to call a tight game, it's the corners rather than the safeties, right? So that gives you it lowers the priority there. But if there's any hiccup or if Eric should have any kind of, you know, twinge or whatever, it's going to be another 4 weeks, then I don't know. Maybe the safety play is more important.
I'm just worried that they wouldn't even play Watts if they had him back out there. Clearly love Sorensen. They clearly love Parker. They clearly love Murray.
True.
And whether or not I agree with any of those things, you know, Murray, I think, is the best of the three players at this point. Sorensen, to be fair, I mean, he's two games back. But, true. I mean, crud.
Yeah, it was a little difficult, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, he's not a fit for some of the things that they want him to do, and that's a tough gig. And so, for me, it's, well, would you play him? Because if they play him, great. I'd love to see Watts out there. He was starting to catch on, starting to make plays. He is a guy who will come up with a big play or two during a game, even if he makes mistakes. And the way I see it, the rest of the safety group is making mistakes already, so you might as well have someone out there who makes a big play as well.
No argument for me.
Well, that's pretty fair. Personally, I want LDT back mainly because I'm more concerned about keeping Patrick Mahomes upright. And I think that getting him back gives you more depth on the offensive line. And I think that's something they need. And I'm with you, Seth. I don't know that they'd play Watts even if they had him. So, cause they're not playing Jordan Lucas.
Right.
So I really think that, you know, if you have an opportunity to bring LDT back, which honestly, I would be very surprised if he'd be ready this early. Because it sounded like they didn't think they were going to put him on IR, and then this other injury that he had, they didn't realize he had. I would be surprised if he's only back in 8 weeks.
Me too. And so we'll see what happens. I don't know. But like you said, the Barry watch officially begins, and I'm excited. I think I have a good feeling about all this. I really do.
I do too. And I've got a lot of questions about Barry, and we'll just touch on him real quick. A lot of folks seem to be concerned about his conditioning, his stamina once he gets back on the field. Folks, if his heel is ready to go and he's able to get out there, you don't have to worry about stamina with Eric Berry. If you've ever seen his offseason workouts, they crush people. Chris Conley worked out with him last, I think it was spring.
Yep.
And said that he just couldn't keep up. And from everything that we've heard coming out of the Chiefs facility is that he's been on fire in terms of maintaining his fitness and his body. And I think that's not going to be a problem. If anything, I think the communication with a number of guys that he hasn't played with to this point.
Right.
And just having that split second, knowing where the other guy's going to be, that rotation, that rustiness, I think is what's going to be the bigger concern.
I agree with that, and I think that's why it's so important to get him back in prior to the real stretch runs, right? Chiefs are going to make the playoffs. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Now the question is, you know, how are they going to make the playoffs? Are they going to have home field advantage? How are they going to all this stuff, right? It's to me most important that he is ready to go 100%. The last couple games of the season, at least, and I mean as in 100%, like completely back communication wise. Completely back conditioning wise, because I do think he'll be in good condition. I do think though it's a lot like the NBA, the NFL is, where you can't quite simulate game day. You know what I mean? And so for me, it's just a matter of getting back into the swing of things, knocking a few rust games off. And so what I'm hoping, you know, maybe he plays on a snap count against the Raiders. Maybe he plays on a slightly bigger snap count against the Ravens. You know what I mean? Just kind of work your way into it while not overstressing that Achilles, because my understanding, you know, it's a bone spur. It's just going to hurt. And so don't overdo it. We need him for the stretch run, but we also need him ready for the stretch run. Does that make sense?
I'm with you. Do you disagree?
No,
Chris?
I'm with you all. I was just figuring Seth had more to say, so I was letting him go. No, I really do think.
Hey.
What?
Why do you wound me?
He's relaxed today. It's okay, a bye week.
Yeah, I'm just. Well,
it's not really a bye week anymore, though, at this point.
Well, it still feels like one.
You're not really a bye week.
Wow. We fall into that, okay. Seth, why don't you go ahead and take us a break? And
I'm going to. And then can I talk about a fellow by the whose name rhymes with Bis Bohms?
That was stretch.
Yeah, that didn't come out right. Anyway, we're going to take a break and I'll be better after that.
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com. Let's talk a little bit about our newest sponsor. Action Heat makes the best battery heated clothing on the market. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. They're engineered for safely and efficiently delivering heat via heating panels similar to the heating in your car seats. Perfect for a friend or family during the holiday season. And Action Heat clothing, it provides a toasty warmth whenever you want it. Comfort for your whole body. And they have a array of different products, from jackets, socks, gloves, hats, the whole nine yards. They're available in men's and women's, and they make some great gifts for this holiday season. It's certainly wintertime, and there's snow on my ground. I don't know about you, but what we've got for you is a special offer, and that's to save 20% on your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. To check out everything Action Heat has to offer. All those hats, gloves, mittens, everything you need to put the kids outside or to go snowplow. That's actionheat.com/lockedon and use the promo code locked on. You can save 20%. Stay toasty and warm while you enjoy all the outdoor activities that winter has for you.
All right. I promised a lot, including being better. And the fact that I'm formulating words that actually make sense means I've already accomplished that. Guys, let's talk about Chris Jones. What are your thoughts? I've been looking at his film. You know, every year during the bye week, I like to kind of take a look at a couple guys. Maybe only one this year, but to at least see, well, how are they doing to date? I think Chris Jones has become one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL. change my mind.
Can't do it.
I came to the wrong
yeah, you did. Can't do it. I don't have that argument in me. I mean, honestly,
yeah.
If it wasn't for having been on the same field as Aaron Donald the other night, you could make the argument that he's the most effective interior pass rusher in the league right now because of this string of getting pressure. It just so happens that Absolutely. Donald's the one guy that's better. But
yep, the one guy, and maybe Watt. Who isn't quite where he used to be, but is a stud. But, you know, Watt, like Chris Jones, moves all over the field. And it's so much fun.
The one
to
thing
watch.
I will say, and the thing that's going to make Chris Jones even better, is if they can find a way to keep Ford and Houston together next year, Ford and Houston together on the edge really helps set the edge, and they cannot double team Chris Jones as much as they would want to, because at that point you have to deal with Houston and Ford, and Houston is still playing very well when he's able to.
Houston, since we've brought him, no, I'm going to stay on Chris Jones. Houston's another one of my favorite topics, as you well know. Nice try, Chris. Anyways, the thing with Jones is that, you know, he slimmed down this year, right? Everyone can see that he's probably running around at like 285, something like that, maybe 290, as opposed to 305, 310. My fear was that it would cause him to be weaker at the point of attack, and I haven't seen that, which has been huge. But he's become a better rusher because of it. He's able to slip through gaps a little bit better. He's a little bit quicker. And he doesn't seem to have lost any of his strength. He just, I mean, he has become a full-fledged monster. And he is not going to be cheap to keep around. But he's so much fun to watch just because of the way he beats players, too. And, like, say, the Rams, I mean, that's a really solid offensive line, including their interior linemen. And he was just beating them like they stole something all night. It was so much fun to watch. One of the few things that was fun to watch when the Chiefs were on defense.
Well, and I think that it's showing you that what we saw or theorized on preseason is that if you could have these three guys healthy, that any Yep. push you get to collapse the pocket from the other tackle is a bonus. Any blitzing they do Right. with the safeties or with the inside linebackers is a bonus. And it lets Bob have that piece that he's comfortable with. Bob, you know, he's comfortable sending one ILB. He doesn't send both very often. He's comfortable sending Right. safeties, but he's got to have that initial push from at least three guys up front. And this is what's going to open Right. up what Bob Sutton's willing to do.
Well, let me ask you this quick question. Do you think the emergence of Chris Jones this season is the reason Alan Bailey is playing as well as he is?
Contract.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, you got the contract Yep. season being undefeated. And Alan Bailey does have an easier job than he's had. However, he's done a better job against one-on-one blocks than he's ever had, but he's facing them more, right? Alan Bailey's not a guy that's going to win every time he's one-on-one. He's got one move as a pass rusher, the bull rush. Now, he's not bad at it. And I mean, you can just look at him and see that, but he's never going to be a high percentage guy in terms of a pass rusher. At least I don't think so. However, this year, because he's seeing individual attention a lot of the time and he's beating it more often. And so, I mean, what does he have? Six sacks Yep. on the year? I mean, he's done a good job. And that's been so key to their pass rush being great. And it has been this year, one of the best in the league. It's not just been the three star guys. And when the three star guys are together, they play tremendously. But also Bailey has provided a nice little supporting notch. And, you know, Breland Speaks and Tino Passanio have played very small bit parts too. It's been a very team-oriented effort. And I do think that's definitely helped Bailey out in terms of Jones playing so well, having Ford play as well as he has this year. I would say this is the best pass rushing group the Chiefs have had during the Sutton tenure. Because even in 2014... Dontari Poe wasn't quite as good as he was in 2013. And while you had Holly and Houston at their peak, I think this group is just a little bit better because I think Chris Jones is a significantly better pass rusher than Dontari Poe was.
Hey, you'll get no argument from me, and you can see the way that it feeds the rest of the defense. And simply by Right. allowing that pocket to get smaller, there's always going to be quarterbacks Yep. that can beat you. In fact, I ended up being very impressed with Goff, more so than I expected to be. But if you continue Yeah. to get that pressure, somebody's going to break through. As the pocket collapses, it just feeds everyone, and that helps out the guys in the back who – I think, as we saw, anytime they're going to call a tight game, those referees are going to affect the Chiefs' corners more so than we'd like, right?
Right. Cause they're grabby.
Right. Not even grabby, just physical. Skandrick's grabby.
Yep.
He's got to be.
Yeah. Skandrick's grabby. Nelson's physical. Fuller's the only one that can get by in a game like
right.
that. He's the only one with the foot speed. Nelson and Skandrick just don't have the foot speed to mirror without having hands on.
I will say that I was impressed once again with Steven Nelson in his recovery when he was beat with speed. And I think that's a game that he's going to have to play in. But that said as well, I don't think when we hit playoffs, if that happens again, I'd love to say the playoffs that could never happen. But then when we saw what happened against Tennessee too. So, I have a feeling that they should be able to call a more appropriate game come playoff time. And I think that's going to be very important for those three guys.
Well, I think one of the biggest things that you're looking at is with the emergence of Chris Jones, the way he's been playing is the way you beat Tom Brady is you put pressure in his face. If Chris Jones is going to continue to play the way he's playing and he gets to the point where he plays against Tom Brady again, that's just going to help. So I think that's a fantastic thing.
Absolutely. And you got to remember the Rams game, and Chris and I talked about this last week because Ryan, you were ducking me. I see how it is. The Rams playing against the Rams offense is a lot like playing against the Chiefs or the Saints in that it's not necessarily indicative of your defense. It's just not. They are too good. They are just too good on offense. Unless you have a great defense, the Broncos deserve all the credit in the world for the job their defense has done against great offenses this year. They deserve tons of credit for that. But the reality is, you know, what happened every time Goff dropped back, if they did not have pressure, like, and I mean quick pressure, right in his face, moving him off his spot, someone was open. The route combinations McVay calls are incredible, and they've got great playmakers. It's just not a great game to gauge your secondary from, because any secondary except an absolutely elite one is going to get torched. Well, and that's what we saw.
Well, and the tightness of the way it was being called only exacerbated that. Yep. If you let them play more, you don't see it quite as much. But I will say this, for the first time in a while, I thought we saw Bob's penchant to back the DBs off rather than try to get in receivers' faces. I thought that ended up working for them in the second half. And, you know me, I'd always rather see them jammed than play off, but it happened to work this time. And I think that's, like you said, because of the uniqueness of the route combinations that they run.
Absolutely. I think what the Chiefs need to do, honestly, and Sutton's dipped his toe in it, which is impressive, but I think the Chiefs really do need to start examining doing more pattern match coverage, rather than straight man or zone. And I think personally, I think pattern match coverage is going to be the trendy term by this time next year, much like, you know, RPOs were the trendy term last year, right?
Agreed.
Because the reality is, and there was just a great series on this, I think Doug Farrar might have written it, I can't recall who, I think it was him, that they just talked about the fact that schematically, right now, NFL defenses are at a loss because there's no zone that works well on the Chiefs, right? Andy Reid is just too good at dialing up looks that beat zone. Same with McVay. All zones have their inherent flaws. And the problem with man coverage, you put them up against these great playmakers, they get torched. Plus, with the now more relaxed rules on like rub routes and other man beaters, it's just impossible. And I think pattern match coverage, you know, which I think most of your readers know what this is, or readers, listeners know what
those
this
two.
Is, you know, where it's just the idea. Yes, yes, both. But, you know, it's just the idea of dropping back as though you were in zone, waiting for the receivers to commit to their route, then playing man at that point. It's a way of combining the two. And I think, you know, Nick Saban kind of is the one that kind of revolutionized it.
Right. And I think we'll talk about this in the offseason as well, because not only do I agree with you, but I think it also changes the way you have to look at drafting and filling out your roster, because you have to have guys that can process visually faster rather than just man guys that can be sticky.
Absolutely. And I do think that's all of these things are going to be important. Sutton, that's the great thing. They've done some of that. I think I'd be curious how it would go against the Rams in a part two. I think it would be another complete shootout personally. But I just think this year is the year that is going to break defenses a little bit, what the Saints and the Rams and the Chiefs are doing in particular. And you're going to see defenses start to respond next year, in my opinion. I think the pendulum this is as far as the pendulum is going to swing before we finally start seeing it swing back and defensive coordinators having some answers.
Before we go to break, I have to ask a different question, and I'm going to completely change what we've been talking about.
How dare you?
You're welcome. It broke on Saturday that Cliff Kingsbury was released from Texas Tech. If you're Andy Reid in this Chiefs offense, you at least ask him to come in and be a special offensive coach for the rest of the season, knowing that he has a great relationship with Mahomes, and he has, I think, something like what Andy Reid would like to put into this offense going forward.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. I mean, you got the chilly, catch-all title of special projects, right?
Spread off.
Chris Ault, remember, I'm going back to Chris Ault, really, is where I was going with that.
Just spread offense, analyst slash coordinator, whatever, in charge of special projects, assistant to the regional manager type thing.
Yep.
Dude.
Yes.
Everything has to end in dude.
Dude. Yeah. I would take him in a heartbeat, and obviously things didn't end well for him at Tech, but I don't think that has anything to do with him being an innovative offensive mind. I think he is an innovative offensive mind. Andy Reid called him a genius. And I think if you're Cliff, I think there are a lot of NFL teams, well, maybe not a lot, smart NFL teams that recognize what's happening. Because you can see right now, someone talked about, like, there's a difference between the haves and the have-nots in the NFL in terms of play calling. I think teams can see this, and smart ones will want to hire him. However, if you're Cliff, if you want a clear path to being a head coach in the NFL, coming up under Andy Reid is a great way to do it.
Let me play devil's advocate for just a second, though. The man is innovative. He's clearly very, very good at what he does. Him, Bieniemy, Andy in a room, is it just too many cooks?
I don't think so.
Okay.
When you look at some of Reed's past.
Not for the rest of the season, I don't think.
Okay.
I have to ask the question. Well, I have to ask the question. Do you think that Bieniemy is still here in 2019? I mean, with the way that the Chiefs have been putting up offensive points, are we sure he's not going to get a head coaching job? I wouldn't have thought Matt Nagy was going to get a head coaching job after last year, but he did.
Right. I could see it, especially with the success he's having.
I don't. Until he's the guy holding that sheet and Andy's, you know, just roaming the sidelines, you know, having a cheeseburger on the bench or something, I just don't see it.
Yep.
Possible.
We'll take our break.
Fair enough.
We'll be right back. We're going to talk about a couple other things. So, I mean, you have a good point there. And here's my bigger question. Do you guys feel like anything needs to be done for the offense? Because there's a couple of guys that I still want to talk about that on the defense that this has still got to get better, whether it was the Rams' explosive offense or not.
I'm not going to necessarily say the offense needs to be better. I'm just saying that, to me, having the ability to bring in a guy like that, who I think would be probably sitting out the rest of the season otherwise, I think you could bring some things come playoff time that would be great.
That's a fair point.
It would be an interesting way to modify the offense in a way that the quarterback is familiar with prior to the playoffs. You know,
I like the way you said that.
Yeah, the name of the game in the NFL is matchup and game planning. Talent is obviously a big deal. We've all seen what happens when you catch a coach unprepared. Andy Reid's done it to Bill Belichick a few times, right? I think it would be a really interesting idea to bring him in as an offensive consultant and have him, you basically say, look, here's the deal. This is our playbook. We've got till the playoffs. We would like to unveil two new packages in the playoffs, right? Nothing crazy, but two new packages, which two new packages is a lot, right? Because they start the season with like 13 or whatever. So even two is a lot this amount of time. But you could potentially come out with things that no one's seen the Chiefs do. Now, Andy Reid all on his own might do that, right? Because he's crazy like that.
Right.
But you have the inherent advantage of someone who is very familiar with your quarterback, what he's good at, what he's not good at. And someone who's very familiar with the system your quarterback has been familiar with and who seems like a smart enough guy to catch on to the blend. I would love to see them do something like that for this year. And then you see how it goes, and it's almost like a trial run. You know what I mean? And you see how it went. Because I think if you can't walk into the playoffs with suddenly, whoa, the Chiefs playbook is suddenly different than what it was. You know what I mean? It's this inherent advantage over the course of four games. Because remember how long it usually takes teams to catch up with Reed's new playbook every year? And they can at least start to slow it down. Usually what? 6 or 7 games?
Sure.
All you need is 4, man.
Less yeah, that's that, a long way to go.
Less than that if you get the first round bye.
And if you have a first round bye, you've got plenty of time to install it.
Exactly.
Oh, this is the best idea anyone has ever had ever.
Thank you.
I'm glad I had it. Yeah. Before we get out of here, I want to ask you guys specifically about one player that's on my mind since this LA game. And clearly Oakland isn't going to be something they have to utilize, but after watching him play and progress through, and the fact that Reggie Ragland didn't play much against the Rams, I think it was 9 snaps. Mm-hmm. How comfortable are you, Chris, with Dorian O'Daniel being a starter at this defense for down the stretch?
Sorry.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you, Seth. No, what I will say is that I think that he is going to be situational starting. You look at stopping Todd Gurley. I think that was schematically right move to make because you put him in a situation where he has Todd Gurley as his coverage, and Gurley didn't really have a great game against Kansas City. I'm not going to say they shut him down because they didn't shut him down, but they stopped a lot of what Gurley likes to do. And I think a lot of that was Dorian O'Daniel. So I do think that against teams like that, maybe another example would be against like the Patriots where he's got to cover James White or Sony Michel or those types of running backs. I don't think you have to do that to Pittsburgh with James Conner, although Conner's played very well. But if they had Le'Veon Bell, I think you would. So I think it's going to be schematically a thing that you're going to have to look at their opponent and say, okay, well, what makes sense? Well, for Oakland, it doesn't make sense to use Dorian O'Daniel as your starter there because they don't have a running attack and a running back coming out of the backfield that can catch like Todd Gurley can. And obviously nobody else is Todd Gurley, but anyone that is anywhere as close to Todd Gurley is, I guess, the way I would phrase that.
Well, that leads me to my second question. So, and I agree with you, Chris. So, Seth, how do you continue to improve and get reps for and situational awareness for Dorian O'Daniel when you're playing teams that don't have that pass catching back threat as much, when it is more between the tackles? Cause he still is not as good taking on guards and taking on run blocks as he is in pass coverage.
I say you dare teams to try to beat you just running the ball and see what happens. Because with this offense, it ain't going to happen. This offense is not going to lose a game to a team that, you know, runs the ball for 250 yards. It's just not going to happen. If the team's running the ball well enough, they'll just switch to a bare front and be done with it. And so I say, yes, throw them out there and let them play because the inside linebackers ain't doing much against the run as it is. And so you just go for it. The most important role for inside linebackers in the modern NFL is zone coverage and man coverage on tight ends and running backs. That is more important than stopping the run. That's right. I've gone full off the rails.
Spell out. Folks, for the record, he said bare front, not me this time. I just want to put that out there. And with that, we're going to wrap it up for the day.
He's not going to come out and say that they need to play with 3 fullbacks, so there's a big difference there.
Oh, I'm getting to it.
Yeah,
okay. Anyway, thanks for listening, folks. That's it for us today. Seth will be back later in the week, and we're going to talk all about this next matchup. You know, we'll find a couple of things we can talk about besides bowl haircuts and overinflated salaries. But thank you for listening to us today. Thank you for the iTunes reviews. Hope you had a great holiday, and we'll talk to you next time.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.